when I first started, and it's funny fast, but, you know, when you get out on your feet, you're ready to fly.
Hey, man.
And that's the sure thing.
Hey, man.
Well, I get a blessing out of time when I sing this song.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to dedicate this to Eric. He likes this.
I ask patients about their spirituality, whether they have any religious... Y'all just listen to the words of this next song. It's a new song.
Bless the Lord.
And this person that wrote this song, she was having a lot of doubt in her life. And she was dealing, the devil was dealing with her. He was putting all kinds of things in her head. And so she wrote a song about it.
Amen.
Shop from over 5,000 vendors in one location at ReedStoneCars.com. At Reed.
There we go.
Remind me once again just who I am. because I need to know.
There's a lot of hurt out there. I'll tell y'all that right now. A lot of hurt out there. A lot of people. I need the Lord right now.
Amen.
Things is kind of falling apart. The good days seem like they're gone. Friday. I was having a terrible day Friday myself. And I sat there in the front yard cutting. Tree fell down up. The mailman came by and I went out there and there was two letters in there. One of them was Sister Bonnie. And oh how I needed it. I couldn't hardly wait to open it. I sat down. And oh, what a comfort it was just to get the letter. But then to open it up and see things, you know, that she had wrote in there concerning her pastor, just it's kind of got me over the hump. And she got a tremendous ministry. And boy, she timed that one just right. I was down. I was so glad to see that letter. Oh my, I just can't express. Kind of like the song Sister Rita just sung right there. Just a lot of things just don't always go like you wish they would. A lot of A lot of things, boy, just seem like they're bigger than what they are. But that letter, I'll tell you right now, it was mission accomplished, Bonnie. Thank you for that card.
God always knows the need.
I mean, the timing of it couldn't have been no better.
Yeah.
You just don't realize, boy, what a letter does. You need to sit down and I commend her highly. What a ministry. Amen. It don't matter who you send it to, just send them a card. Say, I'm thinking about you.
Amen.
I'm praying for you. You're on my heart.
Amen.
You know, I think we need to do more of that, not less.
Right.
And I'd be willing to buy her a dump truck full of cards and a suitcase full of stamps. Boy, just be on the receiving end of one of them. I'll tell you what, buddy. That refreshed me. It helped me. I took, the other one was a bill. I took it to my wife, Eric. Let her deal with that. It was an electric bill. But that other one, I sat down there at the computer and I took my time. And I opened that thing up. I already knew it was going to be good, Brother Mitchell. Of course, she always overdoes it. And it was a tremendous help to me. I had been beat down. And I want you to know I was down to a frazzle, but that brought a little life back. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Sister Bonnie.
Yeah.
Don't go weary in that well-doing. Keep it up, because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of need out there. I like that song that Sister Rita just sung. There's a lot of people about ready to give up.
Yeah.
I don't want to throw a bucket of cold water on it, but I promise you this, there's another pandemic coming. It works so good for them. They're going to make another, and they're going to leash on you. And they're going to want you to wear the mask again. They're going to try to shut the churches down again. Well, they're all over Brother Ed back there, bless his heart. He's fighting through the nail just trying to keep the services online. But I tell you what, buddy, there is a devil down here.
Yeah.
And he does walk about seeking whom he may devour. And he don't care what kind of day you're having. He don't care if it ain't a good time to come. I'll tell you right now, buddy, he wants to rain on your parade. Oh my, thank God for prayer, thank God for cards, thank God for a Bible. Hey, I got encouraged quite a bit reading my Bible this week, amen. I tell you, boy, it's just a lot of encouragement out there. We need to exercise ourselves in it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where we're going to take our text from in this message today. I was actually going to preach about something different. And I will probably preach on it next Sunday if the Lord allows it. I'm just going to go whatever God gives me to go on.
Right.
But I actually was going to preach on the power of the Word of God today. And the Lord just kind of superseded that and directed me this way. And we're going to read the first 10 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church in Corinth. And he says, it's not expedient. In other words, it's not necessary. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. Brother Eric, I like that.
Amen.
But you know what? You don't have to, but I like it when you do.
Right.
When you get the King help it, don't worry about what nobody thinks. I love that. That second one better than the first one. Amen. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. You know, I've noticed that people making all kinds of headway of going into outer space. Who was it? Was it Bill Gates or was it
Bezos?
That other guy, the rich guy, Richard. Yeah, Richard, whatever his name is. He made a big trip up there now. Bezos going up there now. But anyway, you know, everybody's trying to get to heaven. They're all trying to get to heaven, but it's not interested in going the right way, if you know what I mean. They want to bypass God. They want to make it to heaven, but they want to find a way to heaven apart from Christ. When Jesus said plainly in John 14:6, I am the way.
Amen.
There ain't no other way to go to heaven but by Him. He said, John 10:9, I am the door. And Acts 4:12, no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. So you're just not going to go but His way. But anyway, Paul says, he said, such a one, talking about himself, caught up to the third heaven. Now, the first heaven is where the birds fly, and you see them flying. The second heaven's where the stars and the sun. But that third heaven you can't see with your eye. It's above all that. He said, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Now, I've never been to heaven, but this illustration here that he's given, you know, he's just saying, all I know is I got there. I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. I mean, how do you describe something as undescribable as taking a trip to heaven? I'm looking forward to going, Joanne, but I ain't been there yet. But you know what? When I get there, I know whether it's out of the body or whatever. But right now, I'm like him. He said, God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it's not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. In other words, Paul's saying, I don't want you to think too much of me, but I have been to heaven and I'm back here. He's trying to put the emphasis on God and heaven and the glory of God. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure, and I like the way that's worded. He said, just so I could fit in down here, it's kind of what that means, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that means three times, that it might depart from me, and he got an answer, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Stop my reading right there. Now I'm preaching today on have you prayed about it. And speaking of that, let's pray right now. Lord, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, to stand for the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for this message, Lord. Lord, I'm looking forward, Lord, to hearing what you got to say myself. I thank you, Lord, that you're able to put wind in the sails of a man of God. The Lord, that he can go forth with the message of God. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me. Lord, put all, I pray, Lord, in my horn, Father. Fill it, Lord, that I may deliver all that you've given me pertaining to this message today. Help me, Lord, to have clarity of thought and speech. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, for those that will be hearing this today personally. I pray for those, Father, that will be hearing by way of the internet and by way of the live stream. We're thankful, Lord, for the audience, Lord, that we have in this small church. Thank you for all those that have worked so hard, Lord, to lengthen our tent stakes. Lord, they're to be commended. Thank you for them. Thank you for those that have just sung. Thank you for the congregational singing. Lord, it's been good already to be in the house of God. Lord, we just want to thank you for everything we've done already, seen and heard. Ask your blessings on our efforts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Man, oh man, I'm like a blind dog in a meat house right now. I'm just going to take my time in this message. You know, one thing about have you prayed about it is this right here. We have a tendency to take matters into our own hands.
Right.
It's amazing how young that starts, Brother Eric.
Right.
I have seen, I remember seeing one of our little girls, I remember her saying, I can do it myself. You know, when you offer to help them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you step the foot down, I can do it myself. I don't need no helping. That truly is a picture of failing to pray.
That's right.
The best thing to keep in mind about prayer is I need help.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, would you help?
That's right.
You know what I mean? I mean,
that's right.
What's that song by Charles Johnson and the Revivers? I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
We have a tendency to go without God. You might as well say amen because we're all guilty.
Right.
We have a tendency to forget our need of God, and we go through life every day, and even though the devil wants to sift us like wheat, and even though we think that we don't need no help, we all do need help.
Right.
Like I said, we're in the time called perilous times have come.
Yes, we are.
I'm a little concerned about some of these decisions being made in our country. And I'm a little concerned about the trend that's being promoted right now. I mean, I'm not for critical race theory. I'm not for Black Lives Matter. I'm not for homosexual agenda.
Right.
I'm not for gender neutral. But you know what I decided the other day, instead of murmuring about it, why don't I just pray about it?
Right.
To be honest with you, I've been praying about a lot of things here lately. Now the devil don't mind you murmuring, but when you bow that knee down, I've got a sore knee right now, but I still got that on it this morning and pray. When you bow that knee down and pray, that gets the devil's attention.
That's right.
Now, Brother Mitchell's sister, she called me, I think Friday, I believe it was, and she's got to have cataract surgery, and she needs someone to drive her there, and she needs the money to get it done. And you know what? I kind of have my own opinion about it, but I decided I'd pray about it.
Amen.
And I am inclined to help her. And I do want to help her. I feel compelled to do so. I think we ought to all try to help one another. Joanne told me about a young man that a groundhog got up in his car. And you know, I'm not really all of that great a mechanic or nothing, but I can do something, Brother Danny. And I went out there and I saw the carnage of where the groundhog had been. He chewed everything there was in the area where he was. They're like, they never got that groundhog in that car. Lucky for me. Thank you for me, Sister Sue. These all ground wars, they're all the same colors. It wasn't like I had to figure out which one went for better. They was all ground wars. That helped the bunch. And I was able to finally get my hand down in there. And I couldn't get them together down there, but I was able to take the bolts out and pull it out. They got the warren hunters out, and I put them all back together. And somehow I got them all back in there and bolted it back up. And I said, try it. And it started right up. And I said, hallelujah. He said, what I owe you? I said, you don't owe me nothing. But now he's a computer specialist. I said, I might want a favor. He said, you call me anytime. He don't know how big a mistake that was. But I got his car going. And, you know, I want to help people. I do. I think a lot of people out there need help right now. I don't want to be calloused in my heart. If I can help, I'm going to help. I know there's just so much I can do. It ain't like I can grab something around with it no more. I still clear. I send them cards out even little steps to get you where you're going, and they will. And I've learned, I'm taking a lot of little steps here lately. But prayer, have you prayed about it? You know, I caught myself even this week complaining about our government, complaining about some of the things that they were promoting, the things they were spending money on, the things that they were censoring and all of that, and I just kind of got guilty there a little bit. And I realized, you know what, that I needed to start praying more and complaining less. That's what this message is this morning, about what we need to do more of. and what we need to do less of. And I'm filing this message, have you prayed about it? And like I said, when I caught myself complaining more than I was praying, I realized I needed to do some praying about some things instead of complaining so much. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. Now, I get all kind of emails, pray for this one, pray for that one. I use my wife's Facebook. I sent her a message, you done a good job recording the service. She said, thank you, Dottie. That wasn't Dottie and me. I don't have a Facebook. I'm dumb and a box of rocks. But you know what I did? I was able to send that message to her. But I did see on there all of these that are needing prayer. And you know what? I think that if we could do anything more, we ought to pray more.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I woke up this morning about 2 o'clock, and it wasn't like that I woke up that I wasn't sleepy. It just happened to wake up, Brother Jerry. And I thought, no better time than right now, so I just started praying this morning about 2 o'clock, and I actually prayed myself back to sleep. I mean, I had a long list of things to pray about, but I'm sitting there just in the bed in the stillness of the morning. Psalms 46, verse 10. Joanne says, be still. Know that I'm God. Born in the stillness of the morning. No phone calls. You know, I fixed my wife breakfast this morning. I had to get them scrambled eggs just right. So she said, you just don't scramble them right. And I went this way a while, and then I went that way. And I went right there. And I said, sure, I had to do it. If there wasn't enough, I laid the toast on top of it. I kept the tomatoes up, you know. She said, you're getting better at it, but she didn't say I'm better at it. But anyway, I scrambled the 3 eggs, you know, done the best I could. I mean, scrambled eggs and scrambled eggs. I thought, I said, honey, you can't change the dynamic of an egg. It's an egg. Next time, put some cheese on it. Well, now, listen, I'm open to suggestions. I'll do that. Cheese is. Amen. But you know what? I woke up this morning and I had a mind to pray simple. And I just started praying. And you know, I don't know about y'all, but I catch myself driving down the road.
Right.
I prayed for Don the other day, driving down the road.
Yeah.
I tried to call him a good name because I started praying for him. I don't know what else to do. I couldn't get through with the phone. I said, Lord, bless my brother. And he did call me, and it was a little terrible time. My wife's in one of her normal bad moods, and she kind of took it out on Donnie. He said, I'll let you go. I said, yeah, you might ought to. I kind of hoped she would go. She was wanting to go to her son and buy her out to eat. I ended up paying for the meal. And gave him a $100 meal. When I got there, I thought he was going to pay for the meal, the $100 bill. And he didn't, so I paid. They brought the bill to me, so I paid for it too. Then gave me $300 more this morning to go buy a dog. I mean, I'm insane. I need your prayers, that man. He called me last night, you got any cash on you? And I grabbed my billboard. I said, what do you mean? He said, I need to borrow some money. Do I look like Fort Knox? Anyway, he's the last egg in the nest. We're glad to have at least one left. We've done buried the other two. So, I was reading in my devotion this week, Brother Jerry. And it said, a righteous man leaves his children inheritance. I've got to go rewrite my will. Instead of leaving all of my wife, I'm going to split it up a little bit. Them grandbabies, I want them to remember old Pop, you know. So I'm going to rewrite my will, leave them a little something. That was pretty good scripture. I'm in the book of Proverbs. Leaving his children's children inheritance. Ooh, that's pretty good scripture, fellas.
Yes.
I'm going to try to. I'm going to leave. I'm worth more dead than alive anyway. I'm going to try to leave a little something, y'all. Well, anyway, like I said, driving down the road, you don't have to have your eyes closed. Driving down the road, Lord bless Brother Mitchell. Lord bless Betsy. Lord bless people in Landmark. I mean, just driving down the road, you can pray. You can hear things on the radio. Sometimes people call in and say, I need prayer. And you can pray with them. You know, the person that's on the radio announcer, she'll go to God in prayer, and I'm sitting there, Lord, I'm in agreement with Carolyn, and Lord, I'm praying on behalf of this one in need that you'll help them, Lord. You know, that's one thing we can do. We can pray. Somebody wrote a song, I Can Pray. We can pray.
That's right.
I must admit, I am guilty. Yeah. I've noticed here lately I've done more complaining than I have praying. Uh-huh. That's one reason I'm preaching this message this morning. I'm trying to interrupt what we normally do and trying to encourage us to instead just pray about it.
That's right. Amen.
Be careful for nothing, Paul said. Don't pray about it. Don't leave it to change. Don't say what wills, you know, just the way things are. Don't do it. Pray about it. Do more praying than complaining. You know, the whole congregation of Israel, they murmured on their way to the promised land in Exodus chapter 16, verse number 2. And I guess we're just like them on our way to the promised land. And we're spending more time complaining than we are praying, more time complaining than we are singing, rejoicing. I like that song, brother. Gary picked up there. I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day. Amen. Since you gave me this heart of love. I like that. Let's do more rejoicing.
Amen.
Do more praying.
Right.
Less complaining. I'm telling you that went all the way to heaven. And the ears of the Lord heard that complaining. And He came down and confronted them about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Man.
Amen.
Amen.
You sing? Hey, sing while you're driving. Do anything but complain, amen. You know what else about praying? You know, there's some things I'm not on board with. I don't really want to specify because you're entitled to your opinion much as I'm entitled to mine. But there's some things they're promoting right now that I'm not on board with. I'll just tell you right now. You know what I'm going to do about it? I'm going to pray about
right.
it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They ain't got a chance. If I go down my knees and get to praying, they ain't got a chance in the world of doing anything. But they're facing a lot of things. They think they've got, you know, the power, the position to do whatever. They've been acting like tyrants. I hate to get political here, but they're supposed to be public servants. Back years ago, back when people had sense, it used to be no taxation without representation. In other words, they said, if you want our taxes, you're going to have to represent us, and we ain't paying no taxes. I guess that's what we need to go back to. Evidently, money must be the thing of Washington. I can't believe they're still spending it in astronomical amounts. Trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. It don't matter. All they want to do is get their hands on the money. You can't understand where it all goes, and they know that. But that pulling down a stronghold, we have got the advantage over Washington, and we need to pray for our country, pray for our leaders, pray for our churches. The Bible mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, God just kind of gave a suggestion there to Solomon, if my people which are called by my name, and some people said, that only pertains to the Jews. I'm a spiritual Jew. Spiritual, I'm the seed of Abraham. But if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. That's about where we're at right now.
Amen.
Hey, we need to start praying.
Yeah.
Hey, and we need to start seeking His face and asking Him for some help. Because I'm telling you right now, it's getting worse, worse, worse. I'm getting ready to get out. Look, you ought to say, well, brother, Eddie, what are you worried about? I got grandbabies coming out.
Amen.
I got a son still here, amen.
Yeah.
Two daughters done beat me to heaven, amen. But I tell you right now, while I'm here, I'm going to be praying, amen.
Amen.
Bible mentioned about David encouraged himself in the Lord his God in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 6. I mean, it was worst case scenario. They had burnt all the houses. They took all the wives and the children while the men was all gone. And they come back and they wept till they couldn't weep no more. And they lifted up their voices against David and spake about stoning him.
You know what he did, Sue? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And then he inquired of God and said, shall I pursue? God said, pursue. He said, shall I overcome? You know what God told him, didn't he? He said, you'll recover all. And he did too. Yeah. They went through there. Here's an Egyptian slave or servant or something, and they nursed him back to health. And he said, promise you won't kill me. I'll take you where they're at. And he took them where they were, and they killed every one of them, got their wives back. Hey, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When David's son, Absalom, rose up against him, Absalom had a counselor. I'm going to try to speak his name out. Ahithophel or something like that. But he was a very good counselor. And you know, he had took lead with Absalom. You know what David did, Sue? He prayed against the counsel of Ahithophel. Yeah. I hope I'm saying the name right. And he said, God, I pray you'll turn his wisdom into foolishness.
Yeah.
And God did. He went and hung himself. Yeah. But you see what I mean? We've got power in prayer. We've got preeminence to the throne. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and give our petitions to God. We can pray. I don't think we're doing enough of it.
That's right.
I know it's going to get worse. I understand that. I know we're victims of prophecy. I understand that. And I'll tell you one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to be praying about it.
That's
right. Amen. I got a long list of things I'm going to mention and I've prayed about here in a minute. Maybe you've got some you've prayed about. Most of the time our problems are just a prayer away from not being a problem no more.
Amen.
And sometimes I wonder if some of my problems out there just provoke me to prayer. I don't know. But anyway, David, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And he said in Psalms chapter 121 verse 1, he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. He said, my help cometh from the Lord. You better be careful when it comes to what you're trusting in help. I mentioned this in Sunday school. I'll mention it again right now. I had an uncle. He was dying of cancer. And I hadn't been saved very long, probably a year. And I was fasting and praying for my uncle Dawn. And the Lord kind of put it in my heart, go over and see him. I guess the Lord wanted me to see why he couldn't answer my prayer. I don't know. I went over to see him soon. And he was out there in the front yard when I pulled in. He lived over on Walnut Street. I pulled out in the driveway. And his neighbor was right there in the front yard talking with him. I got out of the car and woke up to my Uncle Dole. And I said, Dole, I said, I've been praying for you. And I really believe, Dole, if you just take your situation to the Lord, I believe he'd help you. And his neighbor said, Dole, this young man's telling you right. That's what you need to do. You know what Dole told me and him, Miranda? He said, no. He said they'd come out with a new pill. I'm trusting in that new pill. I was his pallbearer within 10 days. See what I mean? Pray about it.
That's right. Amen.
I thank the Lord wanted me to see why he couldn't answer my prayer. Dole wouldn't let God help me.
Right.
He's going with science. You know what we're
right.
doing today?
Right.
We're going with science. Now, I promise you this, there's another pandemic coming. They're not going to be satisfied that you're wearing a mask again because it worked so well for them. It gave them more power.
Right.
They had executive power.
Right. Yeah.
And you know what some of them, you know, Nancy Pelosi said, no one's above the law. Well, it seemed like Kumo is. It seemed like some of them, no matter what they do, they're not held accountable. You know, when it comes to accountability, and you won't get this nowhere else. Google ain't going to give it to you. This comes from a man that was at the Capitol January the 6th. He wants to remain anonymous. I want him to remain anonymous because I don't want him to be like the rest of them, locked up for eternity. But he told me, he said, hey, I was there. He said, you could tell it was a setup.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He said all they wanted was Trump supporters in the Capitol building.
Yep.
You know how they got them in there? They removed the barricade. Did you see that in the video?
Right, right.
Did you see the policeman saying,
yeah.
come on!
Because
it was a setup. Once they went into the Capitol, all of those that caused all the trouble, the Antifa, the Black Lives Matter and all that bunch, they just, you know, they just got, well, one of them got caught, but he got released without bail the same day. But you know what they did to the rest of them, Sue? They arrest them, lock them up in solitary confinement. No, they can't tell the truth. No, they can't have freedom. I don't really understand that. How is that double standard where John Sullivan, the one that on video, let's burn the Capitol down, it's our house anyway, released immediately?
That's right. That's right.
See what I mean? There is a little bit of a double standard. These others, my opinion, that's pure treason. Without any trial, without any due process of law, they've been put in 24-hour solitary confinement.
Right.
Boy, you're talking about perilous times. We're in them. Amen?
Amen.
Sure. It's just a lot, buddy. It don't add up. Amen?
Right.
David said, I lift up my eyes to the hills which come of my help. He said, my help cometh from the Lord. Psalms chapter 121, verse 1. James says, you have not because you ask not. James chapter 4, verse number 2. Let me tell you why I'm preaching this message. Wednesday night this week, they had a preacher there at Bethel. He really didn't do that good a job of preaching. He read a lot more scripture, I felt like, than he should have read. But he did finally at the end kind of get up there a little bit there. You know, I got on board there at the end. I was silent. Can you imagine me not saying amen? I was silent for about 20 minutes, I guess. I'll have to admit, but if God's in it, I'm on board. And anyway, right there to him, God did get in it. And I went up there to that altar, and there was a few more people come up there with me. And they left, and I stayed. And while I was up there at that altar, I got to pray, and I said, Lord, it sure has been a long time since I've seen someone get saved.
Amen.
I said, Lord, I sure would like to see somebody get saved. Next thing I know, there's a little girl kneeled down, well, not a little, a teenage girl, kneeled down right beside me and a whole bunch of people with her. Her name was Brooklyn Simple. She got saved Wednesday night.
Amen.
You know what? I realized then how important it is to pray.
Yeah,
not because of me, but because of a prayer. Right. Lord, I sure would like to see somebody saved. It's been a long time since I've seen somebody saved. Now, I know salvation's of the Lord. That's what Jonah said in Jonah chapter 2.
That's right.
And it is. And I know that. But I'll tell you what God said. He wondered there were no intercessors in the land. He said he looked for someone to stand in the gap, and he found none. Now look, I was up there, and I was praying about other things. I was just thanking the Lord that the service had turned out as good as it did. Then I get to praying about somebody getting saved. And the next thing I know, little Brooklyn kneeling down right beside me got wondrously, gloriously saved right there on that Wednesday night service. And I tell you what, buddy, you know, sometimes we have not because we ask not.
Right.
I went up there really just to pray, and then I specifically pray that God would save somebody. I didn't even know Brooklyn was even there. She come with a friend that invited her. Hey, I was down here at the lake, down here one time fishing. I'm underneath the bridge. It's in the wintertime. The lake's down like me and Don like it. And there it is. We get where we can hardly find an arrowhead. He's got a son who just keeps showing him pictures of this guy. Find an arrowhead out there. He's about to kill Donnie. I haven't seen him yet. But I'm sure it's probably going to have the same effect on me. But we'll find something on the brook.
Amen, brother.
Anyway, I was fishing down in the lake. It was down in the wintertime. I was underneath the Sydney Bridge right down on the Sydney Road. And I'm catching crappie. Then just like fishing in the bucket. I said, there's another. And I put in that bucket. It wasn't been long. I said, Lord, there's enough. I got Lord in on it. As I'm sitting there catching them crappie, and I'm praising God. I said, Lord, there's another. I kind of got caught away a little bit there. I heard some dogs barking. And I'm already in conversation with the Lord, Sharon. I said, Lord, I bet you them dogs chasing a deer. It wasn't too long, Carolyn. I heard a little noise over there, and I looked over across the lake where I was fishing, and there showing up was a little deer. I'm already in conversation with the Lord, Eric. And without even thinking, I said, Lord, I sure would like to have that deer home. I'd be free. Bonnie, when I said that, that deer started climbing that hill where that bridge is between me and that deer. It started up that hill and come across that bridge like Billy Goat Gruff does. Clip the clock, and there's an old farm truck come down the road, run by like my truck does, missing the backfire morning, running. And that deer jumped off of that bridge. I mean, I heard the noise, and I look up there, and the deer's in perfect Olympic form. I mean, perfect. You couldn't dive no better than this deer dived. Only thing was, there wasn't no water where it landed. And it landed right there by my feet. And it broke its neck. And I mean, this deer, it just laid there dead. This thing hit the ground, never moved again. And that truck stopped. That man looked over that bridge. He seen me. He seen that deer. You know what he said, Miranda? He said, I sure am sorry about that. He said, what do I need to do? I said, I'll take care of it. He said, well, thank you, son. Got back in his truck and run down the road. I got my bucket of crappie. I got my fishing pole. And I took that deer and threw it over my shoulder, put it in the back of my black and white 1972 International Scout 348. Automatic in the floor. I drove to Mama's house. It's a hatchback. I said, Mama, won't you come out here and look? She said, what is it? I'm busy. I said, you're not too busy. Come on. She come out there and opened up the back of that International Scout. And there laid that deer right there beside that big bucket of crappie. I said, what do you think about that, Mama? I said, I went fishing and caught a deer. She said, how'd you do that? I said, I just asked for it. I had that deer in my deep freeze before the sun went down. I must admit, that's probably the best deer I've ever eaten in my life. I love deer meat anyway. That's probably the best deer I've ever eaten in my life. I mean, I can't even say gentle on my mouth, not water. I mean, it was good, man. But you know how I got it? Fellas, ask for it.
Right.
See, you have not because you asked. I had no idea deer was going to jump over and commit deer side. I didn't know it was going to jump down in my feet. But I had to admit, I said, boy, I sure would like to have that in my deep freeze. I did make that statement. I'll confess to that, buddy. I had a guy tell me it wasn't going to deer hunt with me. I said, it ain't always like that, buddy. Yeah, it ain't always like that. I was thinking about a deer that I didn't get. But you know what? I just let the Lord dictate what he needs, not me. Amen. But anyway, I remember one time praying, talking to God, and you know, I was on the back porch of the house, and I'm praying with all sincerity, and I do pray a lot. I'm praying about old Willie. And I said, Lord, you told me when I had a need to come to you. I said, Lord, I got a need. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need $1,000 and I need it today. And when I said that, Miranda, my phone rung. It was on my belt like it normally is. I used to hang it on my belt here, with a little poster looking thing, a little flip phone. It started ringing. Now, I'm praying, Eric, and I'm not going to answer the phone because of praying. It won't quit ringing. And I'm trying to stay in spirit. I'm getting in the flesh pretty quick. It rings, 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 and I'm trying to ignore it for free. Lord, I need $1,000. I need it today. Just ring, ring, ring. Finally, I said, Lord, be right back. I'll pick up that phone. Answer, I said, real hateful. Hello! God, on that phone, said, what's going on? I said, what do you mean, what's going on? He said, Lord, put you on my heart. I need to know what's going on. I said, well, I was just praying. He said, I need to know about what? I thought he was kind of rude. And I said, well, I was just praying about something. He said, look, I'm in a hurry. I need to know about what? He said, I've got to have surgery tomorrow. He's having his hip replaced in Cincinnati. He said, I'm in a hurry. I ain't got time. I need to know what you're praying about. I said, I'm just praying about something. He said, I need to know what something is. I said, well, I was just telling the Lord I needed some money. He said, how much? I told him that I was praying to God. I needed $1,000. He said, it'd be underneath my office, behind the office, and behind a wooden door, and hung up on me. Well, when he hung up on me, what little faith I had, it just disappeared. And I can't explain this. I got a yellow streak up my back. I don't know why in the world I got a yellow streak, but I got to thinking, what the heck? Who would even believe such a thing? And he told me then the next day, I was praying on Sunday night. This was Monday morning. And I drive up there, and the closer I got, the slower I drove. I probably got 5 miles an hour, and there was a yellow streak that reached my shoulders on each side. And the devil was saying, you're the biggest fool in Barron County. You're wasting your time. You know there ain't going to be nothing there. And my nose was done very wide over on the stand boat trying to drive up there. And I finally did get there. And so I done what he said. He said, go back behind my office. He said, there's a wooden door. Open it up. And my hand trembled. I did that latch, opened up that door, and sure enough, Eric, in that door, behind that door was an envelope with 10 $100 bills in there. You have not because you ask not.
That's right.
I ain't learned it all, but I've learned a few things. One thing I found out is you need to tell the Lord what you have need of if you want the Lord to supply your need of His riches and glory. I pray for that man ever since that day. I pray for him this morning. Thank you, Lord. You know that a man walked close enough with God that God could tell him to do something. I don't know how he got my number. That God could tell him to do something. And he calls me as I'm praying, Bonnie. He calls me. And he's about as rude as I was. But you know what? That $1,000 that I needed was there the next morning, Brother Dean. I could go on and on. I remember praying for my dad when I first got saved. Man, I was fasting, praying for dad. I lost 40 pounds fasting. I was down to about nothing. I mean, I looked like one of them refugees, one of them concentration camps. My eyeballs sunk back in my head. Daddy said, what's wrong with you? I said, nothing, Dad, nothing. I'm all right. I got a little impatient, Joanne. I know y'all have all heard this, but I don't get tired of telling it. I got a little impatient, and I said, Lord, I don't want my dad to be able to eat or sleep till he gets saved. And you know what? That went to headquarters. Daddy calls me, Sybil. He said, you praying for me? I said, well, yeah, Dad, you know I'm praying for you. He said, I want you to stop. Can you imagine that? Phyllis, somebody wanting you to stop praying for him? And I was dumb enough to say, why don't we stop, Dad? He said, I can't eat, I can't sleep. And I said, under my breath, you know. And I asked Dad, I said, Dad, if there's other way around, and I said, you was lost. When I was lost going to hell, and you were saved going to heaven, and I asked you to quit praying for me, I said, Dad, would you do that? This is the first time I ever heard my dad weep. Through a laughable voice, my dad said, no, but take it easy on me. He said, I ain't ready yet. 10 years later, he got saved. I didn't take it easy on him. I didn't let up on him. The Bible says the perforation of the hearts of the Lord. My dad had an old stony heart. Man, he'd give you a piece of his mind. I don't have any mind left. You had to watch yourself around him, buddy. Oh, Lord, he's hard-hearted. He didn't have no feelings for nobody. But I come home one time from work. My wife said, I've worked hard all day long, Miranda, and I felt like, you know, I need to be treated like a king. You know, I worked hard. So I come home, Sue, I'm expecting fried chicken, fried taters, pinto beans, cornbread, you know, normal, big glass iced tea. I come home and I said, honey, what's for supper? She said, tater soup. And I lost it. I know y'all think I can't do it, but I did. I lost it. And I said, potato soup? I worked all day long and you got potato soup fixed. And she went to the bedroom crying. And I'm starving to death, so I went there fixing that bowl of potato soup. I have to admit, I've never eaten potato soup before. I've never eaten it. That was the best I've ever eaten of anything in my life. I'll take it right now. Over fried chicken, fried potatoes, pickled bean, cornbread. But I had never eaten no potato soup. She had that in cornbread and said, well, I want you to know I slopped this all pretty good, but I wasn't about to go in there and say, honey, that sure was good. No, it was no move. That lasted a long time. I mean, not a word. You know how you do. Got your nose up in the air. One day, I was up at work, Brother Denny, and I actually read this verse again this week in my devotions. Better is a den of herbs and love therewith than a stalled ox. And a stalled ox therein. Yeah. I read that verse in the cafeteria at ours. Not only they gave me the cafeteria, because I want you to know, buddy, this is what God ordered. It broke my heart. I was so guilty. I was so sad, so sorry for what I had done. I let it go too far. On the way home from work, I stopped over at the little church. Old Bethel got bigger than britches. So I stopped over at the little church back when everybody had a key to it. Now only one's got a key to it. But anyway, I went in there and I walked up at that altar and I knelt down and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I said, I want you to forgive me. And I said, Lord, I want to thank you for my wife finding someone that could put up with the likes of me, someone that could love me, someone that would cook for me, do my laundry, and all of that. And I said, Lord, I made a terrible mistake. And I said, Lord, could you somehow help us to get back to love each other like we used to love each other? And I drove home. And I mean, I'm like 15 minutes from the church to home. I walk in the door, my wife's crying her eyes out. I walked in the door and she done like most women. You sit down right now, I need to talk to you. I sit down. You know what she said, Sue? She said, the Lord just spoke to me just now. She said, he said we need to forgive each other, get back to loving each other like we used to love each other. I'm trying to pick my chin up. She said, I want you to forgive me. She didn't do nothing wrong, Bonnie. But you know what? She spoke my prayer word for word. I messed it up when it was all said and done. But I did tell her I was sorry. I wanted to forgive her. I said, by the way, I love Taylor Sleep. I did. Yeah. I mean, you get so full of pride sometimes, you just need to... every now and then just be human and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, you was right. But anyway, God got me out of that. But I think we're failing to praise. We're forgiving praise. How many are in here right now would raise a hand, Brother Ed? I'd do more complaining than I do praying. My hand's up. Yeah, we need to all be honest. I do more complaining than I do praying. And listen, when you are doing that complaining, just remember this. Pray about it first. Say, Lord, I have prayed about it. I've been praying about it.
Amen.
But you know what? I'm convinced that we do more complaining than we do. Donnie's got a groundhog problem over at his house. They're trying to take his house away from him. And I gave him a trap and he's caught coons, groundhogs, everything but a gorilla. But anyway, I was thinking about him when I was praying over this message this morning. I wonder what he'd do if he just prayed about those groundhogs. Say, Lord, would you send those groundhogs to my neighbor's house? But you know what? He's tried everything but that. I think, you know, that would be a good course of action. Lord, send that groundhog somewhere else. Donnie's working with a young man right now that I grew up with. His name's Billy Gore. Donnie's telling me, he said he prays about everything. And you know, that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, right. Amen.
He said, I know, you know, you and I, we pray about this and pray about that. But he said, Billy prays about everything. And I thought, wow. Bible does tell us to pray about everything.
Amen.
Give the most earnest heed to prayer. Praying about even the little things.
Yeah.
Sometimes the little things end up being big things if we don't pray about them. But Billy, according to Donnie, he said he prays about everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's praying people will be there when they get there. He's praying they'll buy the house. He's praying they'll like it, all of that. But you know what? That's what we're supposed to do. The Bible says pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 17.
Yeah.
That'd be a good thing to do. But instead, like I said, we end up taking matters in our own hands and making a mess out of it. And again, I just want to say, have you prayed about it?
That's right.
Elijah prayed and it rained not for 3.5 years. He prayed again, it rained. In James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Just remember this. Instead of calling old Brother Eddie, I don't mind. I take every call. I don't even look who it is. I say hello. Most of the time, it's somebody wanting to update my Medicare. They say I'm a health care specialist. I said I am too. What was that? I don't know if it was that you? Somebody, I was talking to somebody, and they got one of them calls. I can't remember who it was. They said, this is Barron County Sheriff's Department. I've got a direct call, something like that. I don't know if it's Donnie. I was talking to somebody. They said, when they called him, he said, this is Barron County Sheriff's Department. I've got a direct call. Can we click? Just remember this. Before you do call Brother Eddie, I don't mind you calling me. I welcome you call. Because that helps me pray. The more I know, the better I can pray.
Amen.
I don't mind unspoken requests. I said, Lord, you know what it is. I don't have to know everything. They said, I got an unspoken request. I want you to pray about it. I'll go down my knees and pray. What a privilege it is to be able to come to God in humble prayer.
Yeah.
To be heard and to see God answer and grant those petitions. It's worth it all.
Yes.
Amen. But just remember this.
Amen.
Pray about it.
That's right.
Pray about it. I like to see Washington different. Whether they get different or not, I'm still going to pray about it.
Right.
I like to see our schools teaching children reading, writing, arithmetic. I don't want them teaching confusion when they don't even know which math thing to go to. I'm praying about it.
Right.
I don't want to teach them.
Amen.
I don't want them teaching our children critical race theory, I'm going to pray about it. You see, we got the advantage. We know Him. Nothing's impossible with Him. Not only can He do all things, but He does all things well.
Right.
Have you prayed about it? It's what I'm trying to preach about today. Make it a matter of prayer. Make it a matter of earnest prayer. I believe things will go a whole lot better.
Amen.
I really do.
Thank you.
Father, we thank You for the privilege of prayer. We thank You for this message today. Lord, You've proved time and time again that You're never very far from any one of us. Lord, sometimes Your answer is no, but Lord, You always answer our prayers when we pray from a humble heart. Lord, You know what's best. Sometimes, Lord, we think we know what's best, but I pray, God, You'd help us, Lord, spend time in prayer. Take, Lord, earnest matters to You and ask, Lord, for Your help. Ask for Your wisdom. Ask, Lord, for Your blessings in all, Lord, that pertain to this life. I pray, God, Lord, that You'd help us to pray, Lord, and to bring You into our troubles, bring You into our trials, bring You, Lord, up, and Lord, that we might find the help that we need at the time of our, Lord, we're struggling. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, I'd like to ask everybody to stand real quick. Get Brother Jerry, please. Sister Sharon, I noticed about every hand went up. When I said how many of us take matters in our own hands instead of praying, and my hand went up also. But God help us not to keep that way. God help us to fall down. Make it a matter of prayer. Even driving a car, Lord help them. Boy, we need to pray.
Yep.
I think the hour we're living in demands prayer.